Genesis chapter 37 this evening. This is a message preached just about exactly six years ago right now. Dealing with one aspect of the life of, Joseph. Verse 2 says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto him, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for the dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. He said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And then we have Joseph going after his brethren. His dad sends him to check on them. They end up, they're all the way down by Dothan. And verse 17 says that. It says, and the man said, they departed hence. I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and he found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we will see what become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you. Ask your blessing tonight on the message, Lord, as we consider the life of Joseph and how you work in revealing to us your will. Lord, may the principles that we see from your word be clear. Help me to communicate it effectively, Lord, that would help us stay on course. Lord, to stay in your will. And to stay close to you. May you be glorified, Lord. I pray if there's anyone here who has never been converted, I do pray for their conversion. Lord, I love you, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Joseph is an amazing man who, in his life, similar to the Apostle Paul, finished exactly what God wanted him to do. He was a man who his entire life, even at times he didn't even realize it, stayed in the will of God. He found his purpose and he accomplished it. Again, but there were many times in his life when it looked circumstantially that there's no way. I mean, the Lord had given him those visions. He knew there was going to be some type of authority, so much of authority in the place that even his mom and dad at a point would bow down to him. He knew this was of God. And he didn't know how it was going to come about, but he knew this was of the Lord. And again, circumstantially, many times it looked as he'd have no hope of ever finishing that purpose. He is a great example of what it takes of knowing God's will and completing it. As we're introduced to him here, he's 17 years old. 17. As you know, the rest of the book of Genesis, with the exception of 38, will deal with the life of Joseph. Again, he's a man that in many ways is very much typifies the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Within Joseph's life, he certainly didn't quite have some family difficulties would have been there. He had one dad. There are four different wives in the home. Total of 12 boys, at least two daughters, but probably more than that. We only know of two daughters. He is just about the youngest. There's only one that's younger than him. That is Benjamin. He is the oldest of Rachel. That was the wife, if you remember, whom Jacob loved. And again, so the firstborn of Rachel. We see in our text that his dad favored him. This led to problems, as it does in any family. That will lead to problems. It was true of mine. I was clearly the favorite of my mother, and my brother still doesn't like me to this day. No, just kidding. But I got a lot of laughs at that one. That was just ripping across there. That was really good. But you do see, even in the verses we read, the problems that did cause for Joseph. When the first time it's brought up, of course, it mentions their hatred for him. Three times in the text we read, it specifically states that his brothers hated him. And, you know, he was a man that we see throughout Scripture that was serious with his faith, devoted to the Lord. His dad saw his leadership. That's a whole nother message. I believe that's why his dad made him a coat of many colors, and that's in another message. But I believe it had to do with his leadership. He was given authority. As we see in our text, he did have authority. And so he was sort of put in charge, even though he's pretty much just about the youngest, basically put in charge over his brothers. That did not go over well. That was part of the envy, part of the hatred that was taking place. And so there was just so many complications that Joseph had to face. On top of all that family dynamic he's having to put up with, the Lord gives him those two dreams where he's raised above his family by some event that will take place. And, of course, he tells his brothers the dreams. I don't know that there was much wisdom in that. I'm sure the Lord was in it because of the day that would come with how this would all come about. Joseph's discussion with them would come to their mind. But the dreams, of course, did nothing but increase their brother's envy. They will specifically mention the dreams when they plan to kill him. As we read, his dad sends him to check on his brothers at the herds to see how the work is going. It ends up total being quite the journey. They were actually about 70 miles away. For that day and time, that was an enormous journey he had to travel. So very far away. From their dad. The brothers knew it. And of course, as they get there, as he approached his brothers, they realize Joseph is coming. He's coming to check on them. And they say, no, well, let's just kill him. Let's see what becomes of his dreams. We're just going to kill him. So they begin making plans, but Reuben intercedes on his behalf, and he saves his life. But we didn't read, you know the story. They cast him into a pit. He is sold as a slave. He's then taken into Egypt, where he's sold to Potiphar. He becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. He's promoted there. Again, he's charged with charged with rape there while he's in that house, falsely accused of it. And then he is put in prison. We're not exactly sure of all the time frame, but we know that he was 17 when it's brought up in the text, and we know that he is 30 years old when he stands before Pharaoh. And so we don't know how long in Pharaoh's house and how long the events leading up to that took place, but it's very likely a majority of those years were perhaps spent, at least half of them, spent in prison. And, you know, he was promoted in the prison. The butler and the baker come in, and he interprets their dreams, and the butler is restored. And Joseph asks him to remember him. He doesn't, but the Lord was in all of that. You know the whole story. And I want to get to that end of that story right now, because everything comes to fruition in Joseph's life, what God had planned for him. He is there in the prison. All of a sudden, they come and get him. They clean him up, and he's standing before Pharaoh, who had some dreams. Joseph hears the dreams, the Bible lays them out, the two scenarios that God had given to Pharaoh about the coming famine that was going to be severe, that was going to take place. And Joseph immediately interprets the dreams and doesn't even hesitate. And he even gives the wisdom and the solution right before Pharaoh on how to solve the problem that is coming. Pharaoh recognized God was with this man. I mean, right there on the spot, there is Joseph, and he is made literally what we would call today the prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful country in the world. Now, make no mistake about it. When Joseph stood there before Pharaoh, everything all of a sudden made sense. Everything. It all was clear to him. Everything that had happened to him, why he was in prison, why he ended up learning the Egyptian language, why he learned Egyptian culture, why spending time in a captain's house and seeing how that family functioned. It all was coming together for this moment right here. He realized, and all that is taking place, God has been in this the entire time, let alone getting to the place where he saves his family. When his brothers come before him, and you know the story, he has to stop from weeping. It's just an incredible event that takes place in the Word of God. Ask him if his father is still alive, and of course Benjamin had not come. He wanted him to go back and get Benjamin, and just an amazing events that take place. And then finally, he reveals himself, and just an incredible reunion that'll just bring you to tears as you read it. Point being, Joseph finished his course. He finished God's will for his life. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. So let's draw some principles from this for our life. Because ask yourself right now, are you actually in the will of God? Are you doing what it is that God would have you to do? So I'm going to look at some principles from Joseph's life right now. Number one, let me make this statement as I dive into this. One, you do not discover God's will. That's not how this works. You don't find it. All right? It's not true. God's will finds you. God's will finds you. That is the most important. We're going to look at several. But that's the most important lesson we learn from the life of Joseph. God's will find you. All right? Provided, as we see with Joseph, so what was in Joseph's life that was in place different than his brothers? That wasn't in place. I assure you, it was not in God's will for the lives of his brothers to plan to kill their brother, to get evil in their heart, hatred in their heart, to kill their brother. What was it about Joseph's life that we see that had him in a place where before the Lord, he was in a place where the Lord could perfectly, easily direct? Where there wasn't questioning, there wasn't arguing, there was genuinely faith. And I'll get to that more in a second. Joseph, number one, in order to be in the place where God's will finds him, was a man who was serious with the Lord. He genuinely followed the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. This was very true in the life of Joseph concerning the will of God. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. There is a direction that does come from God, that God will direct our steps. It is his guiding and his leading. Our responsibility, as we're going to see, is just the yielding, just being in a place where what we desire is God. It's not self-interest. There's not some hidden motive. It's not that where we want. We simply desire to follow the Lord, and then we know that he will direct. The Lord protecting me from myself and my life over and over and over, where I was trying to devise my own ways, and God always, always intervene. I'm telling you, the reason why I intervened, one thing that was in place was, one thing I knew I wanted to do was follow God's will. So many times I was acting out of ignorance, thinking I'm following God's will because that was what I wanted. And, well, I'm not talking about a state of rebellion where I'm going to do what I want to do. You better be, God's grace will extend to you, and he'll try and warn you and warn you and warn you. But I'm telling you, it'll get to a place Or he'll say, fine, go your way. Ask the children of Israel when they were crying out for the meat, for the doves and everything else, and all their complaining. God just had enough of it. But for Joseph, he was a man that would trust in God's directing. When I was in New Mexico and I got the orders to go remote to Korea, the Lord protected me from myself. Everything I applied for, everything to stop the assignment was denied. Just stop paying me. Literally, I don't need to. I was already getting paid from the church. Just stop paying me. I don't need the paycheck anymore. Just stop. I applied for the palace chase to the guard. Anything and everything. Every single avenue I hit was closed up. That was the Lord protecting me. That was the Lord in His sovereignty guiding and protecting me. I don't have time for it here this evening, but how the Lord even led me to New Guinea, led me back to Alaska. I mean, just think if at 17, the Lord told me what would be happening to me. This, and you're going to go to Alaska, you're going to be in New Guinea, you're going back to Alaska. Could you imagine me trying to figure that out? It just wouldn't have happened. And I probably wouldn't have followed God. I would have said, nope, I think we're done with this route. No. Only thing I had to do was follow the Lord. And I don't mean the geography side of the house, those positions, that's all up to Him. I just got to stay close to the Lord. That's all I got to do and desire His will. God's will finds me. He doesn't try and keep it hidden. You got to find God's will. He's going to have it hidden. That's not it. You just stay yielded to God with a heart set on Him. Your heart set on Him. And I'm telling you, God's will find you. I mean, actually the greatest example, I should have just gave one example in my life, probably easily the greatest example. I am getting ready to head to Bible college. Out of high school, I am literally, 2 weeks away. It's already rolled. It's done. I'm excited for it. Can't believe it. It's right there. I'm nervous as anything. Not thinking I have enough money for it, but I'm just a couple weeks away. And again, I would have went to a college that this day I really, really disagree with. It was an independent fundamental Baptist college, but I believe I would have swallowed a lot of the really, really bad philosophy. And so here I am, excited about it. My brother happens to come back. He gets out of he had a 2-year commitment in the Navy. He gets back at that end of July of what would have been 1989, and he's asking me, just trying to give me advice when I'm heading off to college. You have money for it? And I said, I got $1,000. He goes, oh, that's not enough. He's going to Bowling Green State University when he's done. So he's thinking like 20 grand. He goes, that's not enough. That's just not going to work. He goes, you need to consider doing like I did, go get the GI Bill. And so anyhow, I didn't think about much at that time. We finished talking, you know, it was a couple of days later. I'm sitting here thinking about that. And I said, you know, I don't know if I do have enough money. And so I go to talk with the Air Force. And to make that, I got a lot to cover. I got to shorten that story. I go to talk to them on that Friday afternoon. I left telling them, nope, I'm not going to do it. Saturday, he calls me up. I went there on a Friday afternoon. I walked out saying, I'm not doing this. That Monday afternoon, I left for basic training. That Monday. Not a week later. Nothing like that. That Monday afternoon, I was on a plane for San Antonio, Texas. Know what the Lord did? He protected me. God's will found me. It found me. Proverbs 3:5-6 is true. You trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We obey Him and He directs. This is how that works. You obey, He directs. Here's some truths that we see throughout Scripture about God's guidance in our life. He can put you exactly where you need to be. He doesn't even need our help. He can put you exactly where you need to be. He can arrange all the details we see in Scripture years in advance. He can open doors that seem shut. He can close doors that seem open. He's more than capable of removing any obstacles out of our way. When you are yielded, and because we're in a sin-cursed body, and you're yielded to Him and you desire Him, He can take your choices and fit them into His plan as you serve the Lord. And one of the most important principles I ever learned as a teenager that always did help me was a full sermon. I have a separate one on it myself that I had heard as a teenager at a conference called The What and the Where of the Will of God. Boy, was that a help. And the whole point of it can be summed up in a simple statement, that we are responsible for the what, and God is responsible for the where. The what is this. This is what I have to do. The revealed will of God. That if I'll do this, God will direct the where. That's His department. And there's a lot of truth in that. You are responsible for the what of the will of God, and God is the responsible for the where. We get that mixed up. We want to be responsible for the where. Now, another thing true of Joseph's life that we see that is very true of this man, really is an incredible man, I want you to see. Joseph had a spiritual drive that allowed him to be in the middle of the will of God. We can see five things that demonstrate that about his life. So again, understand this. It is our yieldedness and our obedience to what God reveals to us. That's what keeps us right there in the will of God where God directs. We can see, number one, that Joseph was very different than his brothers in what regard? In a spiritual way. There was something different about him than all his brothers when it came to a spiritual drive for God. They grew up in the same house. They had the same dad. All that was present. But everyone knew it. There was something different about Joseph. All the other brothers knew because they were trying to shortcut on work or do this or do that. Joseph would have none of it. There was something different about the man when it came to a spiritual walk. It was actually genuine. He just didn't have faith when dad was around. He just didn't want to do right when dad was around. He wanted to do right because he wanted to honor God. Just because you are in church does not mean you have a spiritual drive. It doesn't. What is it that really drives you? Is your meat to do the will of God? What is it? You've got to guard that section of your heart where what you're actually yielded to is, Lord, whatever you want. Number two, we see from Joseph in his life, not only that genuine spiritual drive, he did not conform to this world. You can tell when it references in verse 2 when he's with his brethren, the brethren he would have been with was Dan, Asher, Gad, and Naphtali. The easy thing would have been to conform to his brother. Remember, they hated him. So he's with that. It mentions specifically the brothers he's with based on who their mom was. The easy thing for Joseph to do was to want to gain the older brother's acceptance. That's the easy thing to do. That's the normal thing to do, if you will. But he saw their direction. What was more important than him conforming to his brothers was simply conforming to what God would have him to be. Even though that meant, do you think Joseph enjoyed, because keep in mind, I believe I can demonstrate, it's a whole other sermon, by the coat of many colors and by chapter 37, that he was put in charge of his brethren. Therefore, he had responsibility. This was a man with a spiritual drive. He was going to take it serious. And so, do you think Joseph, though, when he came back to let his dad know what was going on with the work and the different things they had going on with livestock and all that, do you think he was like, I can't wait to tell dad what jerks they're being? He wasn't. I remember hearing a preacher preach on that. I knew that. I'm like, yeah, you have it dead wrong. I don't think Joseph was looking forward to that at all. He felt the pressure from all his brothers over and over and over to conform, to conform, to conform. To conform to their wicked ways, to change, to be like the world. But he never did. And listen, that's true of all of us, whether you're adult, teenager, whoever it is. You'll feel that pressure and that pressure to conform, to conform. I remember that in my youth group. I remember that in high school, in a public high school, that pressure to conform from family. When you actually have that desire to say, you know what, I don't want to conform to this world. You're putting yourself in a place, you know what, where God's will finds you. God's will find you. I mean, let's face it, for Joseph, had he just conformed to his brothers a little bit, it would have made his life a whole lot easier. But his life wasn't about what's going to make my life easier. It's about what's right. And when you desire what's right, you're putting yourself in a place where God's will finds you. We also learn from the life of Joseph. He avoided the temptation to conceal. We see that throughout, whether that was with his brothers throughout his life. In other words, he was a good, faithful steward with whatever was given him to do. So if God gives you something to do, it doesn't matter how big or how small, they're equal before the Lord. What God is going to be looking at for your life, are you faithful with this task? Are you faithful to it? If you are, you're putting yourself in a place. You know what's going to start happening? God's going to start guiding and directing. We also see from the life of Joseph, he obeyed his God-given authority, which was his dad, Jacob. From his life also, which was a major thing that kept him in the will of God, was he was a man who avoided sexual temptation. That's a whole nother sermon on the life. I have a whole sermon just on that aspect of his life. All right, so we see that evidence of the true spiritual drive of the life of Joseph with those things that I've just tried to demonstrate to you. Another thing that was key for this, and then I'll just cover hindrances. So it's two aspects. It's that spiritual drive with obedience, that yieldedness, where your life is just about God. Whatever you want, God, what do you want of my life? Not what's easiest. Lord, what do you want of my life? You're putting yourself in a place where God's will find you. The second thing, it's going to take faith. Joseph, without a doubt, walked by faith. He never had, different than Abraham, different than his father Jacob, God never appeared to Joseph. He never had that. His dad did, grandfather, great-grandfather. He was the one who had to walk by faith. He trusted in God. Perhaps demonstrated the greatest faith of all of them, and Abraham demonstrated great faith, but I believe Joseph's faith is even demonstrated in a greater manner. And the truth is, apart from faith, you'll never accomplish God's will. One of the greatest reasons that people leave the will of God when God starts guiding is faith, not trusting God. And that takes place in different ways. You know, you can just dry up spiritually because of the faith and not seeing what God's doing and never accomplishing what the Lord would have you to do, or the directing of actual steps and actually guiding. All that ceases because it's going to take faith. Many times the will of God will take us into difficult circumstances. The great thing is, just like Joseph realized, the Lord's always there. And I assure you, by the way, when you get out of the will of God, God's chastening hand is much worse to deal with. It will require faith. Now, I want you to listen. I'm going to finish up with this. Hindrances to the will of God. I want to get to this. I want to cover this. What are not hindrances first that we think are? All right. What doesn't hinder you from the will of God? Number one is your background. All right. Your background doesn't hinder you from the will of God. Joseph had a, really, look at the family dynamic that guy had. The hatred he had, his brother selling him, wanting to kill him, sell him as a slave. Family life was very tough, very difficult on him. Abused by his brethren, falsely accused, made a slave, time in prison. Listen to me. The devil is a master in our culture right now at getting you to live like a victim based on your background. Don't live like a victim. That will hinder you. You'll look at that as a hindrance. Well, this is taking place. What all of a sudden happens is, especially when the culture is feeding it and catering to it, your life won't become about the will of God. You'll start living to be the victim. That'll be your cause. And you'll miss out on the will of God. Your background doesn't hinder you, not one bit. God is simply looking for you to be yielded, to walk by faith. Background's not a player here. It's not. God changes all of us. Second thing here that is not a hindrance are your enemies, whoever they might be. Joseph had his brothers that literally became his enemies. They wanted to kill them. God just simply used his enemies to keep him in the will of God. That's all God did. Your enemies can't, I don't know how many times that I've had people, it hasn't been a lot, but it certainly has happened several times just within 10 years that some been convinced that this other person is going to stop them from the will of God. No, that's not true. Now, what could be true is how you respond to those enemies that could keep you from the will of God. You stay right and you trust the Lord. Make no mistake, when you determine you're going to yield yourself to God, there will be enemies that will take place. Here are some true hindrances now to the will of God. Number one is the most obvious, is sin. Unrepentant sin. An example of this, and this might be, it's a pretty tough example. But the Lord had dealt with Moses. Moses had dealt with a lot of people. He'd get frustrated pretty good. And I got frustrated a whole lot worse. Could have never have done anything close to what Moses did. I would have quit hour one. But boy, you know what? When he struck that rock out of anger, you know what that took him out of? That last step of God's will. Listen, the Lord knows, he remembers we're but dust, and we have grace and we have forgiveness in our life. But when you are going to try and harbor and manipulate yourself with unrepentant sin, you're in danger of missing the will of God for your life. Number two, I've already brought this up. I don't need to spend a lot of time on this, and that's a lack of faith. Lack of faith will take you right out of the will of God. When you see God working, and all of a sudden you just look at circumstances, you don't think God's in it, whatever the case might be, listen, that's a danger of you not finishing God's will. Number three, bitterness. Different circumstances coming in, starting to work on your mind, and you allow bitterness to start to build and start to build and start to build, you're just going to take yourself right out of the will of God. That's all you're going to do. And a great example of this is without a doubt Joseph. Sitting in prison, never getting bitter. I mean, let's face it, for 13 years, this guy had a ridiculously tough, rough life. He wasn't living in a cabin somewhere with a nice little stream flowing by with deers prancing by every morning as he played on a little harp and prayed unto the Lord. The guy had a very difficult life. And by the way, even after in Egypt, you could just imagine how difficult his life would have been, by the way. With the position he was in, that wouldn't have been easy. Bitterness could have taken him out of the will of God, but it did not. Fourthly, a hindrance, not being ready. When Joseph stood before Pharaoh, you know what he was? The guy was ready. He was so ready. He knew it. This was it. He was in a place and he was ready. make sure you're ready. That's just by being yielded. That's just following what I've already talked about. And that's already present there. So that when God presents the opportunity, you don't blink. All of these can take you from the will of God. All of those. The key is just simply desiring, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. And I can see over and over in my life, where Lord protecting me from making mistakes, where He guided, nope, you need to go this way. You're heading the wrong way. I mean, it had been my will, I'm going to stay right there in New Mexico. That was the first, Air Force was all of the Lord. That was just all of the Lord that took place. Him completely protecting me, boop, I ended up in it. New Mexico was Him protecting me from myself. I was convinced I knew God's will. Convinced. Even had a sermon to prove it from a preacher that I admired at the time, respected. And he said, if you're in the military, you quit having the military tell you where to go. Let God tell you where to go. And everything I could to get out of the Air Force. I was in such misery for no reason, forgetting God's in control. And God protected me from myself and directed. He's done that all along. If you'll just stay yielded, Lord, whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do. And you know what? God is more than capable to keep you right in His will. With heads bowed and eyes closed.